How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards. Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined shortly by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll get into the latest with the Tennessee Titans with him. Terry Crisp coming up at 8:30 to discuss Rocco Grimaldi's big night. Last night, a four-goal game for Grimaldi and another win for the Nashville Predators. We'll do that at 8:30. And then weekend winners coming up at 9:30 as well. So a lot to get to still today here on the show. And as always, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Joe Rexroad with his lucky coffee cup today on the show. We're feeling good about ourselves. Now, when you've got the coffee cup that's that small, it does require a little bit more trips for you.
Yeah, so exercise.
Yeah, a little bit of exercise.
Probably should do this more often. And really, everybody should have this.
Shh. No one cares.
Shh. No one cares. I don't know who brought this into my home, but what a blessing.
What a blessing this coffee cup is. As you've said, maybe the cup that gets used when the dish is maybe getting a little light.
Yeah, but I had other choices today.
Okay.
I thought, you know what?
So this
it's
is
Friday.
What,
let's have a little
this
fun.
This is how we're going to end the week here. I like that.
But yeah, the big ones were in the dishwasher, so yeah. But I had other small options, and I went with this one.
So. That's right.
Cheers to you.
Joe, we talked earlier in the show, Malcolm Butler signing a one-year deal yesterday with the Arizona Cardinals. Could be worth up to $6 million, according to Jeremy Fowler from ESPN. What do you think of that fit for Malcolm Butler, and what do you think he's still got left in the tank at this point as he goes out west to play in Arizona alongside our man J.J. Watt?
Well, that's probably a good landing spot for him and a good price for him, and it's probably about right. Still think he's a good player. He's on the wrong side of 30. I was picking Adoree because of speed, and that's still a concern with Malcolm Butler, but, I mean, he's immediately going to bring a certain tenacity, competitiveness that the Titans loved when he was here, and it's a good addition for them. So I think people will like him in Arizona. Now, he may get torched a few times, and people don't like that as much. But overall, competitive, really good football player. So it'd be cool to see him have a good season with them.
It would be, and I think a lot of Titans fans are going to be fascinated to kind of track the progress of those two cornerbacks, of Butler ending up with the Cardinals, Adoree Jackson ending up with the New York Giants. I'm fascinated to see how that goes. Two different teams. I mean, you've got a division in the NFC West that right now is as good as any division in the NFL. And you've got a division in the NFC East with the Giants that is by far the worst division in the NFL. So could be very interesting to see how that works out. And I guess from the Giants' point of view, and if you're getting in Adoree Jackson, Kenny Golladay coming into the fold as well, you feel maybe you can turn things around pretty quickly in that division, given how bad it was.
I also feel validated in picking Adoree Jackson based on the numbers, although the Giants may have made a huge mistake. But I mean, at least in terms of how other teams feel about these guys,
yes,
it's a pretty big gap.
Yes, there is a big gap. Probably way too big of a gap, but yes.
And it's probably about right with Butler, and we'll see. We'll see with the Giants. I'm not ruling out Adoree Jackson taking his game to another level and coming close to justifying that money. That is a lot of money, though. It's a lot of money based on what we've seen so far.
You're going to have to do a lot to justify that money.
Yeah. But also, let's not turn this into – I know what it's going to turn into. You know, it's just like Mariota, who never completed a pass here. And, I mean, you may have been a Mariota hater from day one.
But it wasn't day one, but it was pretty early.
It was pretty early, yeah. But, you know, now,
again, I think he's a great person, by the way.
Yeah, well.
Great guy.
Yeah, he's also a quarterback who, you know, threw for 3,600 yards and 36 touchdowns and 9 picks.
And looked like he was skipping rocks on 8-yard out routes at times. But, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't perfect. But the point is, now people look at him like, oh, that guy was total garbage. No, he wasn't total garbage. So don't do that with Adoree Jackson. He wasn't I mean, Adoree Jackson and Corey Davis both didn't live up to where they were drafted.
Yeah.
But they were both good football players.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in and says, I think Butler will have a big year and Dory will be a big flop. JP, that could be a popular sentiment.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. I mean, Dory did not look good coming off the injury last year. He looked to me like a guy growing into, you know, a larger role and a better player in 2019. So we'll see. The Giants obviously believe that's the guy they're getting, not the guy last year who came off a knee injury and didn't play very well. But I think fans also – I think a lot of fans liked Butler better, and I understand it. Butler is this outspoken, aggressive, physical guy that you love to root for, and Adoree is a guy you look at and you think, man, he's so talented – he could be so good. Have a little bit of Butler in you, you know. Put a little bit of Butler in your game. It's not his demeanor. So fans like, and I get it. I mean, most people like the Butler approach better than the Jackson approach.
Sure. It's going to be interesting to see how long Butler can hold up. I mean, he is 31 years old. He was great last season for the Titans. One of maybe two or three guys that played really well consistently on defense for the Titans last year. He is 31 years old, and it's interesting at that position. Like, it's the NFL, and it's a young man's game. Like, you could fall off the table early compared to some other sports, but, like, it does seem like at cornerback, once you start to get around 30, things start to disintegrate relatively quickly. For some, that seems to be kind of like the age of some of the point of no return. Now, you do have Malcolm Butler. You've got Janoris Jenkins
as
well.
They just brought in Janoris Jenkins.
Who is older than Malcolm Butler.
Yeah. So, yeah, it happens. You see, hey, I remember I'll go back, another one of those declaring my age, but like Darryl Green, for example, you know, for Washington. I mean, he was still a really good player well into his 30s. So it happens.
Richard Sherman still going along out there.
Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen with him.
I don't know. The conversation yesterday with Sherman was about maybe a potential reunion in Seattle, going back to Pete Carroll and the Seahawks. I don't know. Maybe that helps Russell Wilson, his relationship with the Seahawks. I don't know.
But some of those guys, some of those defensive guys from the Legion of Boom didn't like Russell Wilson, right?
Yeah.
So I don't remember if that was Richard Sherman
or probably not. Earl Thomas, because I don't know how he likes anybody. But
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, he's still probably, I don't know, with Richard Sherman, he's probably, you know, he's still good enough to be in the league, right?
Sure.
But the fact that he's out there right now doesn't shock me. I mean, because he's had serious injuries, too, and that's another thing. It's not just age. It's what kind of stuff have you gone through?
Yeah, and by the way, we're going to have Teron Davenport coming up at 8:15. We've kind of had some issues with the phone, but we've worked that out now. He's going to join us in the next segment at 8:15. I'm interested to get his thoughts on Josh Reynolds, because you come in, I think you and I feel like both of us feel like he could be a good number three for this team, and you still got a draft relatively high when it comes to wide receiver in the draft. But Josh Reynolds, a guy, as we mentioned the other day on the show, very durable. I mean, he's a guy that I think you can rely on to stay healthy, and it is the NFL. There's always a risk. All it's going to take is one hit, and that story can change. But you're talking about a guy that all 4 years of his career has played in 16 games. So you feel really good about that if you're the Titans moving forward here. I think this could end up being a really good signing for the Titans with Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, TD tweeted yesterday. Someone tweeted about Brandon Lloyd, which is interesting. 600 yards, only once in his first 7 years in the league did he have more than 600. Five of those years, less than 400. This is Eric Crocker on Twitter. And then in year eight with the Broncos, 14, 15, 11 touchdowns. TD tweeted, this is who Josh Reynolds reminds me of. So yep. That'll be one question for him. Just as a player, or he thinks like this is what's coming for him, some big breakout season. I think Josh Reynolds looks at himself as the two here. And again, whatever you want.
Right now, yeah.
Right now, he certainly is. Now, I think they have to invest a high draft pick in someone who may end up being that guy. But you know what? There are plenty of teams where the two and three aren't all that – they're interchangeable.
Yeah.
And that could be the case too. I mean, obviously the Titans hope Reynolds takes a step up. He's young. Like you said, he's durable. He's coming off his best season. I've always thought he was a good player. I mean, that's, you know, you can't – there's one football, and there are other guys in that team who are getting it a lot.
Hey, when the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you will win a prize pack. The next chance to participate is Tuesday morning at 8:45, so maybe, hopefully, some redemption at some point coming for Robbie Stanley in this competition.
Get your game face on right now. Yeah,
I got to prepare. Maybe some film study involved this weekend as well. When we come back, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
That's right. We love Fridays here on the show because that means we get to talk to our man, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Teron Davenport. TD, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, man, I like moving it to 8:15 because then I could get my theme music back. The jizzle.
That's right. I mean, we're just kind of genius. We're setting the tone here right from the beginning of this interview. And TD, I've been really curious and interested all week to get your perspective on Josh Reynolds. And I know that's been a guy that you've talked about for a long time, that you've been in on for a long time, and have studied for a long time. So what stands out to you about Josh Reynolds? And when you factor in what you knew about him coming out of college and what you've seen on him now at the NFL level, what kind of a signing do you think this is for the Titans?
Yeah, I think it's a really solid signing, and quietly it could be one of their best signings, excluding the obvious Bud Dupree. But, you know, for me, you get two different Josh Reynolds. You know, and the one that I remember coming out of A&M, he was a deep ball specialist. I mean, he was a guy that, you know, was really good at stacking corners, attacked the football, and did what he had to do. Now, with the Rams, they didn't use him the same. So, you know, you didn't really get to see that deep pass-catching ability. He even talked about that a little bit, you know, on his virtual presser. They used him a lot on hitches and things like that. But I think he's a really solid player. I don't think he's Corey Davis, but I think he can help fill in.
Well, and so I mentioned last segment, TD, the tweet that you quote tweeted yesterday, and you know, interesting. I hadn't remember this about Brandon Lloyd, but how he kind of had, you know, some solid seasons, and then he blows up well into his career with the Broncos. And you tweeted it and said, you know, this is who reminds me of Josh Reynolds. Then you just sent us you wrote that right away. You wrote the Brandon Lloyd. So what's the Brandon Lloyd Reynolds comparison to you?
Yeah, that comp is something I first made in 2017 when he was coming out of A&M. And for me, I make that comparison because neither one of those guys are fast. Like, I remember Brandon Lloyd, and he was running his routes, and I was like, yo, how is he getting open? You know, how is he leading the league in yards per catch and total yards, you know, receiving? But it was all about the ability, like I said, with Reynolds to stack corners, right? And, you know, you see him beat a corner and then get in front of him and just be able to just put himself in position where only he could make the play on the ball. And that's what Josh Reynolds did really well coming out of A&M or even at A&M. And then I remember watching him do exactly that at the Senior Bowl. So that's why I made the comp. And also their ability to go up and attack the ball. Now, Brandon Lloyd made a lot of, like, circus catches. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying Josh Reynolds is going to, you know, make the one-handed catches that you remember 10 years ago. But I'm saying that he attacks the football in a way similar to how Brandon Lloyd did it.
TD, there's been a lot of conversation this week on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, talking about Jeffrey Simmons and what the expectations should be for him heading into next season, now that he's got Denico Autry next to him and Bud Dupree on the outside as well. What do you think bringing those two guys in specifically can do for Jeffrey Simmons in terms of his production?
Yeah, I think it's going to help a lot. And I've said this before. You go back and watch the early games of last year with Clowney out there, Simmons was really extra effective. And he still had a solid year, you know, once Clowney went down, but his best game came with Clowney in the lineup. And I think when you add Bud Dupree, when you add Autry, you know, these give you guys that will be able to pull some of the attention away, and you won't see as many double teams on Jeffrey Simmons. Then in addition to that, you look at stunts and the things. You know, go back and watch Pittsburgh games. You'll see them running a lot of stunts with Dupree and Casey, almost said Casey Hayward. Yeah, Casey Hayward. You see them doing that. And also with the other guy, Pruitt. You know what I mean? Stephon Pruitt. So you, or Tuitt, rather. So you'll see those. And then you watch the Colts, and you see some of the things that they did, the twists and games up front. And then just the way Autry and DeForest Buckner were able to combine and just really wreak havoc. I think this is what you could expect from Jeffrey Simmons. So that's going to help all around.
All right, so I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to take Chase McCabe's question to me and apply it to you. So right now,
all right,
your best and worst position groups for this team as things stand, as obviously understanding that the draft's going to change things.
Yeah, I think your best group is easily the front. So we'll say just the defensive line slash outside linebackers. The worst group, I'm going to have to say receiver, because that's the one group where you have, well, you can say tight end too. So I'll say tight end and receiver, because both of those groups, you know, tight end, who is the starter? Like, who is the clear-cut starter at tight end? That's not known yet, right? And then at receivers, okay, who is the slot? Josh Reynolds has played it before. A.J. Brown could play it, but I feel you want both of those guys on the outside. So that being said, when you go three receiver sets, who's that receiver in the slot? So there's a question there.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
All right, I got to follow up on the slot receiver. Talk me out of Rondale Moore. Why shouldn't the Titans draft? I'm like totally.
TD, Joe Rexroad is totally in love with Rondale Moore.
I just think Rondale Moore is going to come in this league and like and just crush people. And people are going to look at his height and count it against him. But am I missing something? I know he got hurt in college.
Well, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do for you, Rexroad. I'm going to ask him when I have him on Talking with TD next week.
Yeah.
Amari Rodgers. But, you know, for me, if there was something that I had to nitpick or, you know, white glove, it would be, can he be the same player he was pre-injury? And I think that is a question. But, I mean, you look at the athleticism he showed at Pro Day, you know, I think he's going to be back on track to be that guy. And I think that would be the only question. You know, can he get back to what he was freshman year?
TD, Malcolm Butler signing a one-year deal yesterday with the Arizona Cardinals could be worth up to $6 million. What do you think of that fit with Arizona, and what do you think Malcolm Butler still has left in the tank as he heads out west to join the Cardinals?
Yeah, I think it's a good fit. I think, you know, that's a team where, you know, from what I've seen, they will, you know, use a lot of man coverage. And I think Butler's a pretty good man corner. Just don't have him man up on a receiver and not have a safety help over top, you know, against a deep threat. But other than that, I think he's solid there. I think it is a good fit. I think he still has some left in the tank. I'm not saying a Pro Bowl level player, but, I mean, you watch him last year. He played all games and He was good to go. You know, he did get beat the one time by Will Fuller, but other than that, you know, you didn't really see too many issues with him. And matter of fact, he locked down guys. I mean, look at that stretch: Chase Claypool, AJ Green, and then Allen Robinson. That was a pretty good stretch for him. And the only one who had anything near 100 yards was Robinson, and he didn't be a factor in the game or catch any touchdowns.
What, were you surprised by the numbers on the Adoree Jackson deal with the Giants?
Yeah, I was very surprised. I was very surprised that God bless Adoree for getting himself into a better situation financially. But I don't know who the Giants were bidding against. I know the Eagles were interested, but it was my understanding that they were outright at $10 million. So why you had to go to 13, and also knowing that you had Darnay Holmes on the team who is somebody that Adoree mentored, and then you had Logan Ryan who is somebody that mentored Adoree. Like, you have all of the things that would make him want to go to the Giants, right? So I don't think they really had to go $3 million per year over what the Eagles were going to do.
TD, I want to ask you about an interesting guy that if you watched the SEC last year, you're very familiar with, and that is Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss. And Lane Kiffin, obviously very high on him yesterday at his pro day as well. What kind of a pro do you think Elijah Moore can be at the NFL level? And could that be an option for the Titans who could be looking for wide receiver help in the draft?
Well, let me say this. I've been watching Elijah Moore since his freshman year, and I've been saying how good of a fit he would be for the Titans since that year when I was watching A.J. Brown, right? And he's a guy, he will come in at the slot, but he gives you a vertical threat at the slot. He gives you a route technician at the slot. He gives you a guy who will attack the football, plays bigger than that 5'9 size that he has. But in addition to that, you could put him outside, and he'll still do fine. Like, I wouldn't do it consistently, but if you want to switch up a matchup, right, and put A.J. Brown in the slot and have him outside at the Z, you could do that. And that's what I like about him. He could do everything. Lane Kiffin actually said that he had the right mindset. He said that he's wired right and similar to Amari Cooper, who you know that he coached at Alabama. And then in addition to that, he also said that he plays bigger than his size, and that's the truth. I asked him about, what it is that makes him able to play inside and outside. He just simply put said he's a dog, and those are the things that you want out of the receiver position. That's that aggressive, that alpha type of personality that you want. And I think he would be a really good pro, and he would be a solid pick. You see what he did also, the 4.34. I'm not going to say that's official because, everybody is running under 4.4 all of a sudden.
Yeah,
but still, If you add, 0.1 second to it, it's a 4.4. That's solid speed.
Yeah, those pro day, timers sometimes a little bit friendlier. But, well, so there's two guys, two Moores, I like them both a lot, who are, like you said, kind of, they're slot receivers. But do you think it's important for the Titans to think of it in those terms? Like you said, Elijah Moore could move around, but do you think it's important for the Titans to think slot receiver, or is it just get the best receiver you can get and move people around?
Yeah, I think you get the best receiver that you could get and move people around. Unfortunately, right now, you have Cam Batson who could play slot. You have A.J. Brown who you saw the Ravens game when he, was dominating Marlon Humphrey in the slot. And Josh Reynolds, he played a lot in the slot last year. So, you definitely have guys that could do it. I think Rashad Bateman is really intriguing because he's someone else, a big body that could play the slot. But you watch his 2019 tape, and he ate people alive from the outside. So he's a very intriguing option at 22. We're going to have him on Talking with TD eventually as well. But, he's someone that I'm really attracted to as far as what he brings to the table.
And TD, speaking of Talking with TD, the new episode is up. What can people expect? I know a loaded NFL draft prospect lineup this week on Talking with TD.
Yeah, we talked all this receiver. So, we had a guy from Temple, Brandon Mack, 6'5", 220. The Titans have shown interest in him, so he's on there. We got Grant Stewart. And you guys and girl, you're going to love his story, man. I asked him why he plays football the way he does, because he's one of those hair on fire type of guys. And he had a really interesting story and reason for, loving the game and why he plays it that way. And anytime we talk about edge defenders, right, Azeez Ojulari is the guy that I mentioned. And I'm smiling now as I say his name, but I'm really excited to have him on the show. So we had a great conversation there. So definitely check it out. And you asked about Josh Reynolds. Chris Sanders gave his opinion on him as well. So definitely check out the show.
Very nice. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. TD, great stuff, man. Hope you have a great weekend.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Take care.
Absolutely. When we come back, we will get into the Nashville Predators. We'll be joined by Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Back through to center. Here come the Predators 2-on-2. Howla in front. Grimaldi scores. What a beautiful play. Stealing the puck behind the net. Going to the left side. They shot the score. Lifting the puck out from low along the left side. And here again is Rocco Grimaldi to make it 3-0. From the angle instead, and off it comes down to Grimaldi. And folks, at 8:08 of the first period, Rocco Grimaldi has himself a hat trick. Here's Grimaldi breaking in, looking for his fourth. He gets it! Rocco Grimaldi tying Eric Nystrom with a four-goal night.
What a night it was last night for Rocco Grimaldi and the Nashville Predators. They hammer the Detroit Red Wings 7-1. Rocco scores four goals, and the Preds all of a sudden creeping back into the playoff race. They've won five out of their past six games, and to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend, Predators TV analyst Terry Crisp. Crispy, what's going on? I imagine your coffee tasting quite good today.
You know what it does? I'm happy now because two reasons, 2 points, and Grimaldi gets four goals, and I'm just hoping that most of the people out there today are safe and sound after that storm went through. So if that's the case, then I will enjoy my coffee.
Absolutely, Crispy. Well said. And let's start with Rocco Grimaldi. I mean, obviously, four goals last night, that's going to be the headline today, not only with the Predators, but in the league in general. Just what was it like from your vantage point to watch that? And when players, when they start games off that way and you've got a goal and it seems like every puck that they've got and every chance that they've got is going in, from a coach's point of view, what's that like when you see that happen with one of your players?
You know what? You're feeling happy for them, especially for a player such as Rock, who, you know, doesn't get a lot of ice time, has been snake bit the same as Arvey, getting so many chances. They work their buns off every game. They go full tilt, full bore, for the full 60 minutes. They run into guys, they run into the boards, they go to the net, they get hammered, and for once in a while, you're just happy to see. And when he got a couple of them, we were so happy for him, because he and Arvey have been working their tails off. And then suddenly, like Pete Weber just said, at 8:08, Grimaldi had a hat trick, and then when he got the fourth, when we were going nuts, but if you want to hear something really loud and crazy, was when it was right at the end of the game, and Lindsay and I and our crew were all listening, and they were jamming at the puck, and it was Rocco Grimaldi jamming at the puck in the crease. And we're almost screaming, yelling, get in, because if that goes in, we got five goals, and we got history made for the Preds for the first five-goal game by a player. And we were sure he was going to get it. We were almost positive he's going to hammer that puck in.
Gosh, Rocco, such a disappointment, Rocco. You didn't get your fifth.
Could have had
buddy.
Five.
Come on, Rocco.
I'm going to tell. I'm working a little harder.
Yeah. Pick it up, Rocco. Let's go.
Yeah. Quit taking time out to pat yourself in the back.
All right, so Crispy, I'm going to put you in the coach seat for a minute, and this team is playing better. Obviously, they're on a roll. They got a good feeling about them. They're working hard. The style they want to play that really has been talked about since before the season is kind of manifesting itself on the ice. So now you're the coach, and Matt Duchene and Luke Cunningham are healthy. What are you doing with the lineup?
You know what? Right now, I'm not making any changes, not a lot. And I know it's a greasy slope for a coach to walk on, because you have your veterans, and your veterans are the ones that are supposedly going to carry your hockey club, or should be doing it. And they're the ones that come in, and when they get injured, and there's always an unwritten rule, you don't lose your job through injuries. And that's sort of been a hidden rule, but it's there. And if you're like Duchene and Cunningham and them, they get injured playing, they have the right to come back in and prove it. But again, when your team is on a roll like this, now you're thinking, okay, what's best for this hockey club? And that's what the coaching staff will be thinking right now, and David Poile and them. If this team continues on the vein it's on, why do you interrupt it? Why do you mess with it? And you guys know the old adage, if it ain't broke,
don't fix it.
And right now, the team's not broke. They're hitting stride. They feel good. If you listen to the interviews
Olivier the other day had one of the best interviews in a long time, but if you listen to Sissons and Olivier and Benning and Rocco Grimaldi after the game, hell, you'd have thought he didn't score any goals.
I know.
And I said, Lindsay, and I looked at him and said, you know, we love modesty, and we love, but once in a while in your career, the sun shines on you, and you take that moment of glory and revel in it. Just roll around in it and say, I know my dad would be proud of me, and et cetera. I don't care what it is. He thanked his teammates. He thanked the ice makers, his Avoni driver, all but himself.
I did notice that last night from Rocco, for sure. Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Crispy, obviously, one of the big stories in the turnaround as of late has been goaltending. And UC Saro, since he's come back from injury, has just been playing at an almost otherworldly level when you factor in the numbers. I mean, his save percentage right now since he's come back is somewhere around like 985 or somewhere like that. So it's been incredible to watch. How do you handle the goaltending situation moving forward, knowing that Saros is playing well, but also knowing you've got a whole lot of games coming up if you're John Hines and the Predators in not a very long amount of time? So you're going to need both guys as they move forward here.
Exactly. And the goalies know it. Both Saros and Rene know this. The coaching staff know it. The players know it. And we all know it. That you're going to hit a bump and you're going to need a rest, whether it be Saros or whether it be Pecorine. And they both have said to them that they both respect, they're like little brothers, big brother and little brother out there, Saros and Rene. And they realize that the bottom line is win. And the number one thing is the team winning, not the individual, not who gets all the ice time or who plays goal. And the coaching staff, in my estimation, if I'm part of a coaching staff, I'm saying, hey, he's hot, and we run him. It's like, if you got an ace pitcher and he's hot, you don't take your ace pitcher out and put in your him from the bullpen or whatever the hell you call it, baseball. No, you run him, and if he's healthy and he feels good. And there was an interesting interview Kara Hammer had with Ben Vanderklok, the goaltending coach here. And he said that working with Saros and Rene, said, Saros is the young kid now coming in that is extremely, and I forget the word, but dedicated. He wants to see every game afterwards. He wants to go through every video they have of him afterwards. He wants to learn. He wants to see. And Vanderklok says he's just like a fanatic for that. And that's what he wants. So it's now showing up in his game.
All right, Crispy, I got to get you on the story of the week in this league. You know, Tim Peel on the hot mic the other night, and it's become a league-wide discussion. And you can't get fined anymore. So let me ask you, what is the state of officiating in this league, and how many conversations have you had over the years with officials who said, hey, you know, we had to give you one or whatever?
I can tell you what, I won't get fined, but I can get fired.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
You got to be honest about this. There's not a gag order, but we have among ourselves, and Skillsy and Mason, and I guess we've all played the game, and we've all been through it. We know what players go through, we know what officials go through, and et cetera. So, no, we're not, we have no response on that whatsoever. The league handles their own things, and we just move on and get with it. So I apologize to you gentlemen for that, but no comment.
That's all good. Terry Crisp, Predators TV analyst, has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Crispy, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, man.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me on. Enjoy being with you. And by the way, my coffee tastes extra good today. It's what did Porthman say? It's just a rock on coffee.
That's right. That's right.
Put an ING on the end of that if you didn't get it.
That's right. Absolutely. Terry Crisp has been our guest.
Thanks,
here on Robbie and Rexford. We'll continue the discussion on the Nashville Predators when we come back. This is Robbie and Rexford here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What just happened?
Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth are with you on this Friday morning. Ryan Porth having a spasm attack back there. I don't know what's going on. Coming back from break.
Was he trying to play a song and it didn't work?
Yeah, it just didn't work, and now he's lost it. This is another example of how we're streaming live on Periscope, YouTube, and on Twitch, and how we need to have a camera option for Porth.
He's way more entertaining than we are. What was the song, Ryan? What was the song that we were supposed to hear?
Did you compose yourself long enough to tell us what the song was supposed to be?
It was going to be All I Do Is Win.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, it worked out well then that didn't play. I'm sorry. That's one of those songs that, oh. Who sings that song?
DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just.
Miami legend.
It just grates on the.
It's a little brutal.
It's a little bit brutal.
Yeah.
So thank you, Porth. Good job. Great.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
How long has that been their post-game victory song?
It's been a minute now.
I mean, in it's 5 years that I've been here.
That's not their post-game. That's like a probably 50% of sports teams.
Oh, no, I know. But I know it's theirs.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be.
No.
It's not mandatory that it's their post-game victory song. Maybe they could change it up.
Maybe so. What's your suggestion for a victory song?
I will come up with a list of 20 before the end of the show. That will be
okay.
And they also will not include "We Are the Champions" by Queen. By the way,
you know, all right.
There are better ways to go about this.
I just love the look of panic on Porter's face. He's sitting there like trying to hit a button, and all of a sudden, I don't know what to do with my hands. It was great.
Then he almost falls over in his chair.
Yes. What a sequence for Ryan Porth here on the program. And what a sequence last night for Rocco Grimaldi. 4 goals for the Nashville Predators, including a hat trick in 2 minutes and 34 seconds. So he scores a hat trick 8 minutes and 8 seconds into the first period. From the time he scores his first goal to the time he scores his third goal, 2 minutes and 34 seconds elapsed for the Nashville Predators. It was pretty amazing, and it's one of those things that if you went to the game last night, or even if you just watched it, you'll always remember that game just based on 4 goals being scored. I did think, you know, once he got to 3, I immediately started thinking about Eric Nystrom against Calgary back in 2014, who ended up scoring 4 goals in that game, and the game went to overtime. The Predators actually lost that game, and he didn't even get on the ice in overtime. It's like, what do you got to do to get on the ice in overtime? I've scored 4 goals.
You've given us your 4 goals.
Yeah,
have a seat, Eric.
You just go over there and sit down for a minute.
Yeah, now Rocco gets pulled from the lineup after his 4-goal night.
Yeah. He almost had 5. As Crispy said in the last segment, like, he had a pretty great chance for his 5th one late in the third period. And Grimaldi was talking about last night, you know, he was trying to get off the ice, and his teammates on the bench were just like, nope, stay out there, buddy. You just keep going. So gassed at the end of that shift last night, but almost found a way to a 5th one. That would have been pretty amazing. 5 goals, that would have been the first time in Preds history. And now we sit here with 4 goals, and the 2 names that have done it in the history of the Nashville Predators, Eric Nystrom, Rocco Grimaldi.
Yeah, not what you might expect. Do we have the John Hines quote on Grimaldi?
We do.
I'd like to hear that.
Ryan Porth, are we able to play this quote now?
Can you play something, Porth?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's play the quote from John Hines last night. On the win for the Predators and the performance of Rocco Grimaldi, here's what Nashville Predators head coach John Hines had to say.
I thought the first few shifts, Detroit really, they put us on our heels a little bit in the D zone. I thought we defended well. And then, you know, once we got up and running and Rocco was flying, obviously, in the first period, it was nice to see him get the goals. And I think it might be the fastest hat trick in franchise history now. I think he bypassed Sullivan, I believe. So, you know, that was pretty special. I think it was the fastest 3 goals. I think it was at 45 seconds in franchise history. So pretty special by the group tonight. Rocco was flying, and it did. It brought a ton of energy to our team and a ton of energy to the building. And as you said, you know, we talked in between the first and second period, and I just, the way that the team responded to start the second period and the way we played the third period, I thought just showed a lot of guys buying in, playing the right way, doing the right things, playing for each other. You know, I thought as the game went on, we continued to play the right way. And I think that's a mark of a group that's really committed to each other.
So that was John Hines after the game last night.
Again, the camera not on Porth. It's a real problem. It's a real problem.
I almost want to pick it up and turn it around.
He's completely lost it back there. Okay, so one of two things. Okay, so either John Hines went running before the presser or... Like, is this a microphone thing?
I don't know, man. He was
drawing in fast. Wind.
He was.
That was loudly drawing in wind.
He got tired watching Rocco Grimaldi out there last night, I guess. Skating around, making noise.
It's microphone week, I guess.
I guess so. Look good. Oh, man, that was funny. I don't know what he's laughing at.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, goodness. Well, Rocco Grimaldi did speak after the game last night, talking about how special it was for him to score four goals. Specifically in this game, Grimaldi, born in California, moved to Michigan as a child and played in the Little Caesars League there in Detroit as well. So, obviously grew up watching the Red Wings. Here's what Rocco Grimaldi had to say about scoring four goals against Detroit.
It's weird, a kid that grows up a Detroit Red Wings fan, a kid who is from California but grows up as a Red Wings fan, who gets the opportunity to move to Michigan. And I know the man who brought me to Michigan was in the stands tonight, Glenn Murray, son-in-law of Mr. and Mrs. Illich. To have him in the stands, I mean, to grow up with, you know, Kenny Daniels, Mickey Redmond, watching those games, and to know that they called tonight's game, it's surreal for me. It's special. I have nothing but respect for that organization. You know, the family that owns the organization, the people in it, I've known them for a long, long time. For them to be in the building tonight, was extremely special. To have them call my game is extremely special, and I have nothing but the utmost respect for them. And it's crazy. I don't know what to say.
So that was Rocco Grimaldi after the game last night, talking about how special it was to get that done against the Detroit Red Wings. You're going to have to start, like, do a Twitter live of Porth just crying in the control room. But really cool stuff there. Like, just talking about growing up a Red Wings fan, playing in that league. Mickey Redmond and Kenny Daniels on the call last night, two legends in their own right in Detroit on that goal.
He can't stop. Oh, my gosh, listen to him.
Yeah, he's coming through the room.
All right, let's see if
this
I can
is unbelievable.
Can I tweet this video?
I'm trying to talk about how cool this was for Grimaldi last night to score this goal. Score four goals against the Red Wings.
It was awesome.
Can't even let him spit it out in there. Thank you, Porth.
So, I will say that I thought it was very cool that Rocco talked about Mickey Redmond, because let me tell you something.
Dude's a legend.
God, I love Mickey Redmond.
Yes.
And but it maybe earlier on the show we played that clip, and it made me think. I hadn't really thought much about this. I mean, I've seen Mickey Redmond agonize. Like, just feel it in his bones on camera when the Red Wings, when they were great, when they would lose like a tough game.
When they were like 52-14,
you know, the Russian fight. Like, what have the last few years been like for Mickey Redmond? Way to keep trucking, man. Way to keep trucking. I hope he enjoyed Grimaldi's four goals last night.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike texts in and says, "I was waiting for Hines to say, 'Luke, I am your father,' the way that he was breathing there." That's pretty good.
Rocco.
That was not good. That was not a good Darth Vader impression at all. God, that was awful. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland texts in, "I bet John Hines is around the breakfast table this morning saying, 'What now, Nashville? Get off my back a little bit.'"
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, Vingan's not asking about his job after the game anymore. He's winning. And now, you know, we're talking about the drawing in of air. But it's weird. Like, the sound was weird. Like, something. It had to be a microphone thing, right?
Yeah.
We hear him all the time. We hear John Hines all the time. He comes on here us.
It was just a sensitive microphone. That's all it is. Everybody takes a breath. You can't just talk without breathing.
But, like, can that happen? Like, how does that happen? I don't know audio stuff. You guys know this stuff. You know this stuff, Porth. Like, how does that happen?
I
don't
know.
Compose yourself and answer the question.
He must have really been close to the mic.
Yeah.
Is that it? Just being close to it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The mic was put too close. Like, Mike was put too close to him.
I don't know.
Have you?
Maybe.
This is not a thing that it's not a common thing, is it?
Maybe now you're going to start to notice it a lot more.
Oh, yeah. Now you're going to notice every breath conference. That every person takes at a press
from
conference.
From here on out.
No, but I mean, I've noticed it before, but that was so loud.
It was. It really has bothered you.
Well, it doesn't bother me. Dude, when we played it earlier in the show, you and I were sitting here looking at each other like, what in the world are we listening to? Right?
Yes, yeah, you're right.
I mean,
look, he was just really. It's not every day you see four goals being scored by your player. That's all it is.
I mean, Rocco took his breath away.
Yeah. A breathtaking performance. by there Rocco Grimaldi.
Let's get to the. Let's close it out with the dad jokes. Very nice. We hit on all the important topics
of the Nashville Predators. 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to help you continue the tradition with a hockey home gating party, and it's time to text in to the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Home Gate. You can watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Just text the word GAME to 615-737-1025. That's GAME to 615-737-1025 now to enter. The winner will be contacted on Thursday. You must be 21 or older to enter. We'll be right back. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.